Good morning. I would like to welcome everybody at the presentation of the financial performance of BZWBK for three quarters 2017. Together with us, there is CEO Michał Gajewski, the head of the financial management division, Mr. Maciej Roluga, Mr. Carlos Polaino, in charge of the financial division, and Wojciech Skalski, in charge of financial accounting division. My name is Agnieszka Dowrzycka, and I am in charge of investor relations. Mr. President, over to you. Thank you today. We are to start differently than today, meaning that I would like to start with things related to our new marketing communication. Actually, I hope that you have noticed that one of the main events in the past quarter was that we introduced a new product proposition that relies on a totally new approach to the product and to the way the customer needs are satisfied. And what I have in mind is the new account, the savings settlement account called Account As I Want It. And together with this account, we've introduced a new platform for communication that, and along with this platform, we introduced a new strapline, the Bank As You Want It. Before we decided for this radical move that is to consist in the simplification of our proposition and making it more transparent, and finally in making the functionality of the proposition to be freely selected by the customer, because it is the customer who decides what functionality they want to have, as in the case of the Account As I Want It. Before we took this radical move, we actually mandated some research. And this research indicated that the customer wants simple, transparent proposition, the one that they can tailor to their needs, the one that they can select given their life cycle and needs at this point of time. And that's why we've taken this decision. The first results are very optimistic. Of course, the strapline, the Bank As You Want It, is also our commitment. It's only the beginning of subsequent changes that we are going to introduce as part of our strategy. And this will refer both to retail customer segment as well as small and medium enterprises, as well as corporate customers. In corporate banking, it is well known that products have to be customized, tailored to the customer needs. But a new thing is, in our opinion, this approach, especially when it comes to retail banking. At the end of September, we've sold 115,000 of these accounts. Now we are close to 200,000. It is a new approach relative to what has been witnessed to date on the market, is that we offer these accounts to our loyal customers. And the first month, we focus actually on our existing customers. One third is accounted by new to the bank accounts. Our first activities were addressed primarily to less active customers in our database. And the sales of this account, proposing this account to them, was to make them make more transactions with us. And the first research when it comes to the quality of these accounts indicates that we made the customers interested in that proposition and they increased their transaction levels. What else is new? Of course, this account is available across all delivery channels. So not only in the branch, but also online, on mobile phone, but also in mobile banking. What else is new in retail banking? Let me start a little bit with our performance. We can see the growth in our balance sheet total when it comes to cash loans, deposits. We grab market opportunities, especially those related to the growth witnessed at our stock exchange. The performance of our TFI is really good. The net sales in September was over 1 billion assets under management, and our TFI are as high as 16 billion worth of zloty. We can also see the activity levels in our brokerage house. We participated in the biggest public offering on the market for play, and our customers were very active in that process, and we saw a big growth in volumes there. It's also important to mention that we offered new functionalities in electronic banking. Actually, we've been continuing our strategy of transforming retail business. This refers not only to changes that we have introduced in quarter three when it comes to look and feel and customer experience in our mobile application and online application, but we introduced new functionalities, for example, like the trusted profile or the possibility to buy tickets for different events. This is also reflected in the number of active customers in mobile banking and in internet banking. We have as many as 3.3 million of customers with access to e-banking. Talking about the growth in the number of customers using our mobile application year on year, this growth is 25%. And all the time we keep growing the number of mobile transactions that is in our application on mobile phones. When it comes to the sale of retail products, including loans, we have nearly 40% growth in the number of products sold through remote channels, including credit cards. 11% of credit cards are sold via remote channels. In mobile banking, this is 23%. That's 23% refers both to internet banking and mobile banking. We are also the first bank that offered the full set of mobile payments. It's not only BLIK, where we were one of co-founders of the system, but also our HCE functionality or Android Pay. We have the tokenization platform that is prepared for all other options.
Mobile.
As for changes when compared to the previous quarter, we have strengthened our position. Momentum in loan and deposit growth has continued, including customer savings. And as you can see on this slide, our market share exceeds 10%, both in terms of loans and deposits. So we can say that we've been strengthening the strong position of the third bank by assets in Poland. As for our financial performance, in my opinion, we reported high profit of 1.6 billion. And in terms of underlying profit, i.e. if we exclude the Visa transaction, the underlying profit would increases 15%, so a double-digit growth. As for capital ratios, as you can see, They are very high. Common equity, Tier 1, 15.92%, and the total capital ratio at 16.9%. Again, quarter 3 saw strong return on equity, 11.7%, which is one of the best results in our peer group. Our funding position is very strong, and it has continued to be so for a number of quarters. So quarter 3 was closed at a satisfactory level in terms of financial performance. And at the same time, we have been providing stable growth to our customers and shareholders. Now I would like to give the floor to Maciej, who will go through financial performance presentation. Before I discuss the presentation, I would like to mention some highlights. You might remember that we issued subordinated debt in quarter two. Certainly, it will be confirmed that it can be added to the capital, so the total capital ratio would increase by more than 50 basis points, and at the bank level alone it would be even higher. But let me start with the macroeconomic review. As you all know, the macroeconomic environment is favorable. We revised our GDP projection. We have more than 4% for 2017, or in the region of 4% for 2018. As shown on the next slide, it is driven by an increase in private consumption. We anticipate revival in investments. Early signs of revival have already been seen. We believe that the first half of the year will be better. We believe that in 2018 we will see a strong growth in investments, paired with a strong economy, current account stable, unemployment rate very good, growing salaries, which supports consumption. All these factors are very important in the context of inflation and monetary policy. Inflation outlook has changed. You can see that over the 2 years we have been reaching the inflation target. In terms of reference rates, they are still at 1.5. We factor in one rate hike of 25 basis points in late 2018 and another one in 2019. But I think it is important that the chairman of the council keeps saying that the rates remain unchanged until the late 2018, which makes our assumptions rather hawkish. I think it is interesting that he said during the recent conference that it is his private opinion rather than the opinion of the entire council. It is also important that the propensity to change the interest rates is on the rise. Whether it will translate into changes, early changes, we have to see. Wait and see. But it is very likely there is an even higher likelihood than a quarter before. But as I said, conservatively, we price in 25 basis points in 2018, which is in line with what we've been seeing globally. Today, the statement of the European Central Bank will be announced, which means that the central banks of Europe prefer to wait and have the inflation targets breached before making preemptive measures to reduce monetary policy. So it is much easier to reduce inflation rather than to increase it. So we need to wait and see for further statements from the Monetary Policy Council and what it means for the inflation and interest rates in 2018. As for the banking sector and deposits and loans, We see that the trends have continued. The growth rate reached 5% in both segments. For our bank, on the deposit side, the slowdown has continued, especially in the households segment, and outflow of funds to alternative investment forms. Demand deposits grew at double-digit rate, while term deposits declined. Looking at the financial performance of our bank, I would like to mention some key highlights. As for loans, last quarter we talked about net sales in retail banking. In PLN mortgages, 1.3 billion, and cash loans, at least 1 billion. And these figures were achieved in quarter three. As for PLN mortgages, 17% growth was reported. Our share in the market of new PLN mortgages is at the record high level. A similar level was reported in May. In August, we had a 13% market share. As for the remaining segments, credit cards up 5% year over year. Looking at the SME, new sales in quarter three increased 8% year over year, while volumes, when we take into account the entire SME offer, i.e. including leasing and factoring, we reported an 11% growth and a 5% increase in the number of SME customers and 11% in the increase in the number of loyal SME customers. As for corporate banking plus the global corporate banking, we reported 8% growth, while the lowest pace of growth was reported in the corporate banking, driven by the property portfolio, which didn't grow, but excluding the property portfolio, the growth was 3%. So we continued to see momentum in different business lines. SME customers, mortgages, PLN mortgages, nominal value of cash loans very high, slightly below the market in terms of corporate banking, in terms of those mid-cap companies.
On the liability side, talking about customer funds, the key thing is to have the full saving investment proposition that we address to our customers, especially retail ones. We continued outflows from deposits, particularly term deposits, to investment funds. Another good quarter when it comes to sales of funds. On gross terms, 800 million. And 800-900 million continues quarter on quarter. In quarter three, we saw the continued weight of the net sales effect. In the previous quarter, it was half and half the effect of the valuation net sales, while in quarter three, this is driven by net sales. At the same time, we keep selling funds through remote channels, more than two-thirds of the overall sales. When it comes to deposits, retail ones declined, given the decline in term deposits. But what is most important, current accounts increase at the double-digit pace, which allows us to improve our interest margin, which I will tell you about in a minute. This is actually presented on the next slide. What we outlined for this year, there was to be a slight increase in net interest margin. Being literate, at the conference after the end of the first quarter, was saying that it would be a few basis points a quarter. If we treated that as it said, we could say that at the end of quarter three, we delivered the annual target. But I think that slight improvement is still possible, a few basis points, because the first quarter saw a one-off effect. I've already explained that earlier. In quarter three, after quarter three, the margin is 3.87% when it comes to net interest margin and net interest income, double-digit growth both across the three quarters on a year-to-date basis, but also in the quarter three alone. Net fees. As you can see, 5% growth year-on-year. I think that is worth noting the pace of growth quarter-on-quarter. I mentioned that last quarter because in quarter one, we had the growth a little bit above zero. In the second quarter, we saw some acceleration to 5% when compared to 2016, and in quarter three, it's 8% as compared to quarter three 2016. What is worth highlighting here? Looking at the third line, on the first line, cards. Credit card fees play a big role here because they saw a growth by 19%. And the second line, customer plus other. On a year-to-date basis, we have the 5% growth, while in quarter three, it's a little bit slower, smaller growth. The FX line desires attention because it's double-digit growth in quarter three. Loans plus insurance, well, there is a decline driven by regulatory changes introduced in quarter two 2016. Stripping it off, there would be no decline. And a very strong outturn under the capital market fees. For the first time, probably on a quarterly basis, we have a three-digit outturn. Excellent performance when it comes to brokerage fees, management fees. All that makes up a really good net fee income. Gross income overall, apart from the two important basic lines, what is important, the net trading income. We are coming back to the usual levels, 50 plus. Quarter two was a bit weaker. Quarter three actually outturned what the average results from previous quarters. While the gains on other instruments, well, there were a few effects adding to that, Visa, but also the sales of bonds. And this is in sync with what was announced before. Talking about costs. As it might have been expected, there is a strict cost discipline, even though there are differences in different lines. Staff costs increased by 3% year-on-year, both in quarter three alone as well as on a year-to-date basis. Of course, there is the base effect related to the takeover of call center, which actually drives the staff costs. But the other elements offset that depreciation. There is a clear increase. When it comes to other costs, they are a bit higher in quarter three than in the first half of the year, which is driven by a few disputable cases for which we decided to create provisions in quarter three. Other costs in quarter three actually were the same as the average for 2016. Talking about loan loss provisions, I know that some of you who make projections for our results saw it at a bit lower level, but the level of 232, which, given the lack of one-offs and sales of NPLs, the charge of 80 basis points roughly is the normal cost of risk that we should see. If we annualize that 232, it gives us 80 plus, which does not differ from what we said before. And as I'm showing on the next slide, we didn't have any sales of NPLs in quarter three. The accumulated ratio is 0.64. Once again, if we assume that there are no one-offs, then keeping the annual charge of 80 basis points for the whole year, we would have it at 0.64.
I've already mentioned the NPL sales. Nothing has changed. And looking at the Bank Guarantee Fund contributions, 25, and presumably in quarter four it will be at the similar level. And the reasons behind the decline is known, as the cost of resolution was related to this particular time point in time. We cannot show the summary slide, but let me discuss some key highlights. First of all, growing underlying profit, increase in core revenue, increase, 15% increase in fee income, and 8% after quarter. The question is whether we will be able to keep the 8% growth rate. We think that the 5% growth after the three quarters of the year is our target, and we've managed to achieve that. From the perspective of the three quarters of the year, credit portfolio quality improved. In terms of the cost of credit, it is slightly higher, comparable to 2016, which is in line with the guidance we provided, excluding one-offs. So overall, our net profit is solid, excluding one-off items. Basically speaking, excluding Visa transaction, because we do not exclude the 1 month of bank tax. So we only exclude that transaction. So the underlying profit increased 15%. Higher NPL sales, the effect of the Bank Guarantee Fund contributions. So all these factors are taken into account here. So that will be all as for our presentation. And we are now happy to take any questions you might have. Let me start. I have a question about the cost of credit. I don't mean the third quarter, but there has been information about bankruptcies and insolvency of certain companies and their financial problems. So my question is, despite the good macroeconomic environments, have you seen companies that cannot cope with staff costs or rising salaries, or do you perceive such cases as isolated ones? What is your perception? No, we haven't seen such signs. Looking at quarter three and raising specific provisions and analyzing individual portfolios, consumer finance, corporate banking, retail bankings, we haven't noticed negative trends. The portfolios are solid, and the overall trends are similar to the previous quarter. One might say that these levels should be lower, taking into account the economic environment, but perhaps our selection process is good and we don't have such cases with us.
If I could, I wanted to ask about the fee income. There was a very strong growth in credit fees quarter on quarter, 16 million. With the similar sales volumes, was there any one-off impact or something else? No, it seems to me that there was nothing special happening. Well, the good news is also that we have increasingly better penetration with insurance products when it comes to cash loans and mortgage loans. One more comment when it comes to the presentation, please keep it in mind that we changed the presentation of returns from BGF, but now it's disclosed under a different line. But if you compare it quarter three on a year-to-date basis to the same period last year, then it doesn't play a role there. One more question. Can you share with us your sensitivity to interest rate changes when there is a 25 bips hike? How it would impact the NIM roughly? As I've said, we actually put it into our plans towards the end of 2018. So when looking at 2018, we can say that this impact is not marginal. I'm not talking about 2018, but maybe 2019. Just I'm asking overall. Well, for example, if tomorrow there was a hike by 25 basis points, well, of course, the impact on the asset side will be automatic because the majority is based on floating rates. On the deposit side, I wouldn't say that there is any special sensitivity to 25 basis points move. It will take place, but not as quickly as in the case of loans.
Do you have any other question? If not, I will read out questions posted via the internet. A question from Alan Webburn.
Fee income related to capital markets activity, or is the 3Q number sustainable? Also, in the Q3, SCB credit cost now is a more normal level. Lastly, when do you think the expected boom in investment will start to be seen in the quarterly loan volumes?
Let me start with the final questions. We believe it should be quarter four. It should be visible in quarter four. We should see some effect of rising investments and its impact on the lending activity. As for equity markets, well, we don't have any crystal ball, and we are not able to provide any information about future trends on the market. So what we've been seeing in our brokerage house or the investment fund manager, TFI, well, it all depends, but we haven't identified major threats. And as Maciej said, net sales is very important, not only the growth in the value. As for Santander Consumer Bank, one more word about the capital markets. There are two elements. One related to the brokerage activity and the second one related to fees. Well, there is a question whether it should be treated as an IFI one-off, but IPOs are not reported every quarter, so to some extent it affected the fee income in quarter three. So it will be difficult to repeat that results, but I believe that the trends are positive, so they should continue. As for the cost of credit in Santander Consumer Bank, excluding quarter one and quarter two, because we had some sales transactions, we are below the figure which we reported in quarter four. But as we said last quarter, in addition to the sales, there was the change of parameters, which translated into lower parameters in the Santander Consumer Bank, which continued in quarter three. So it's the continuation of that 52. So I can't say that the 50 is the level that should stay stable in 2018. So I think, yes, as for the last question, the answer is short. Yes, we do expect that the boom in investments will translate into growing lending activity.
Update on your merger and acquisition appetite. What would be the characteristics of a potential target? How do you assess the impact of the potential Pekao Alior merger on BZWBK? How do you assess the latest Swiss franc mortgage proposals? Could we have a definitive solution in place by the year end, effective from 2018 onwards?
Dobrze, jeżeli
When it comes to a base scenario for M&As, as I've said, and as I've kept saying, our strategy is the one of organic growth. It doesn't mean that we are not tracking the opportunities arising on the market. And I have to tell you that if such opportunities arise, we will take a look at them. But has to be business fit, culture fit, and it has to be cheap. And then we will actually pay any attention to that. I will not comment the speculations related to PKO and Alior. I don't want to talk about it. When it comes to the proposed new Swiss franc bill of course a few bills are already in the same, including the spread one, and the provisions of the new president's proposal are not really very accurate. There are such statements as up to 0.5 of the annual contribution of assets in foreign currencies. So it is difficult to say what would be the impact of such a solution on us. The discussions are still underway. Together with other banks, we provided our comments to the bill. We talked to Polish Bank Association about that, and we presented our comments to KNF as well. So it is really difficult to say what will be the final shape of this bill. It seems that the KNF and NBP will have a lot of powers when it comes to defining the parameters for this bill. We don't really know what will be the parameters. There is a lot of speculations in the press, but we don't really know what is going to be happen. And the last question from the internet, from
Outlook on cost growth in 2018.
Strategy has not changed, and as Michał said at the outset, our transformation and digitalization programs have already been yielding effect, but certainly they require some costs and outlays, which is reflected by the level of depreciation. But when you have some expenditure, you need some room at different lines. So if there is an increase in 2018, it will be marginal. Are there any other questions? Please use the microphone. A question relating to slide 17. You can see that the pace in terms of deposits is slowing down. My question is, do you expect any implications of these changes, and have you been preparing it? I can see that you have an attractive deposit offer. I don't remember the name of the product, but I think it was highly ranked in terms of the deposit offer. So my question is, do you anticipate any impact of these changes? And my question about the International Financial Reporting Standard 9, any implications on the business? The second question, yes, the effective date of this new standard will come soon. We don't have precise figures, so we don't have them. And the first question, referring to the standard, yes. Well, all institutions have certain estimates, but can you consider such estimates and rough figures to be final or discuss them publicly? I don't know, because we've been calibrating our models. We have been aligning them with the macroeconomic scenarios, so we've decided to provide information about the impact of the new standard on the capital, on the cost of credit, during the next meeting. As for deposits and loans, yes, improvement in the net interest margin is on the asset side, as already communicated. After increases in the net interest margin in 2016, which was rather balanced, this trend will be very difficult to continue. This year, we have an increase on the asset side. And yes, we anticipate growing lending, but I don't know what you mean, the growing margin on net interest income.
Sorry, the microphone is not on.
I think in our case, we need to make the difference between the lines, because we reported a 5% growth, which is similar to the market level, with amortization of the Swiss franc portfolio at 12%, including repayments and the impact of exchange rates, plus the property portfolios. So excluding these factors, we grow faster than the market, and we believe that these trends will continue in 2018. But as I said, last quarter, in certain business lines, especially in corporate banking, we can see that from the perspective of margin, the pricing competition is strong, because all market players want to grow faster than the market. According to the KNF, all banks wanted to have a 10% increase in this particular segment, while the entire market will grow 7 to 8%. So it's very difficult to have such levels in all institutions on the market. And as I said, it's one of the reasons why our growth is slightly slower. We have SME, mid-cap companies, and large corporate companies. Our growth in SMEs and large is very big. In the mid-cap, it's slightly lower, because of the property portfolio. In retail banking, we grow faster than the market, especially in mortgages. And we would like to continue these trends. As for deposits, I think that a comprehensive banking offer, we need to have an attractive proposition, rather than to think about interest rates on accounts that might change by not 0.1. So we try to provide a balanced and comprehensive proposition. For that reason, we have a strong liquidity position, and from this perspective, we are well prepared for lending from the perspective of capital. The same also applies.
Can I ask about the FX mortgage portfolio? Looking at your portfolio, excluding the currency effect, it seems that the amortization of that portfolio is quicker than on the market. Do you manage that actively? And that's the portfolio made up of the portfolios of a few former banks. Well, we don't have any special early payments either in our case or in the SCB. The fact that it decreases more in the balance sheet, it is driven by the FX effect, because the amortization is roughly around 7% and the 12% effect is driven by the stronger zloty vis-a-vis Swiss franc. Thank you.
Dziękuję, do widzenia.
Thank you. Goodbye.
To może nie być, ale to trzeba by było mierzyć.